Welcome to the Forging Honor Podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at The Forge, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing challenges, building habits and character through action.
In today's episode, we talk about the benefits of exercise, the dangers of addiction, and the necessity of biblical fellowship. All right, it's challenge check-in time. As a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks. That's 42 days. There are simple daily tasks to grow us as men. And our current challenge is exercise for at least 15 minutes every day. Banjo, how you doing?
Well, there's two senses in which I'm doing. I feel sometimes doing these challenges, I feel like a student coming in with homework. Well, I meant to do it, and I had a plan to do it, and I had a folder to do it, and I didn't do it. This week I had just a lot of things that came up. So I had a track meet to coach for the kids and a couple of other things that popped up. So I missed a couple of days, but I'm doing seven to eight out of since we last recorded
a week ago. Yes.
You're right. A week ago. Never mind. Hold on. Let me change those numbers. Make it like five. I've done like five since we recorded.
Right. Well, because you keep thinking we're on the old system still with the 10 days. Yeah. And you'll say some number, some number out of 10. But no, it's out of 7 now.
Now it's out of 7.
Unless you count, we're not counting Sundays though. So it's out of 6 really.
Basically, I've done like 4 workouts since we last recorded.
Well, that's better than I did.
I'm happy with it. And they've been good workouts. It's been the best part of it. And it's getting to be a routine. And probably the thing that I'm most excited about is, for example, yesterday I came home and I was exhausted. I've had a hard time in the past going out and going for a run when I'm that tired and feeling like, well, what I wanted to do right now is just sit down and veg. But yesterday, I think just because we've started to make it a habit, I was like, well, if I go out, I know I'm going to feel better. I know I will feel better if I actually go out and I start to exercise. And I did, and I had a really good run. And it was pretty much the best it was the closest to feeling in shape I've felt probably for the last 4 weeks. So, excited to keep that going over the next week. How about you, JJ? How's things
terribly.
Going?
Terribly.
Terribly.
Last week has been the worst I've done so far. I started off super strong because we have 1 week left. So this is the end of our 5th week. So, first week and even the 2nd week did super well, was super strong. I think
you're betting 1,000, right?
I was doing, yes, I did insanely well. And then the next couple of weeks after that, I was doing like 50%. And then this last week, you want to know how many, unless you count push mowing my acre and a half lawn, I got a big fat zero this week.
Womp, 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 womp.
So no, I have to admit life that. Happens. I have life to admit happens. That. Yeah, and I'm not, there are, I, so kind of jumping into the conversation a little bit, there is one massive reason that didn't happen for me. And that's that the guy that I've been working out with, he's out of town. I had no motivation to get to the gym.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call that an excuse. It's just, that was the reality of, I was still planning to go to the gym on those days. And I didn't feel the urgency to get out the door. By the time I'm like, all right, I've wrapped up with work. Oh, it's dinner time already. It's whatever time. So for me, this week was an experience of all the negative consequences of kind of lack of that community a little bit, kind of what we were talking about. Last week with Dave, just you got to be in community. You have to find something to strive for. So that was on my mind and just kind of feeling guilty about it. I shouldn't feel guilty about it. I should just dust it off and go hard this next week. I feel like there's definitely a lot of improvements I could have made. One of the things I also noticed is I just did not feel as good this week in general.
Like healthy wise?
Yeah, I think that was just, I think part of that was I wasn't working out. I just didn't feel, I don't know, every time, like kind of like what you're saying, when you've been working out, like you just feel good.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's funny because I, I have a default setting of kind of like, I just don't believe a lot of things that people tell me. Like if I find out that like, oh, this is going to make you feel better or you should do this thing. Like, so for example, just right now, JJ is feeling a little under the weather. He's drinking some Emergency. I've been told for a long time that I should be drinking Emergency in the, you know, the vitamin C beverage.
Or just something. Or just even take a vitamin C pill.
A vitamin C pill. And I like refuse to do it. And I'm not proud of that. It's not something that I like hold on to as a badge of honor. This is the unsanctified portion of me. I just don't believe it. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about me that keeps me from doing those simple things. But exercise was one of them. So when people were like, you know, people kept saying like, you know, exercise makes you feel better. I've been exercising for years and years. And I don't know why I don't believe when people tell me like exercise is going to make you feel better. I have my doubts.
Well, but, except it clearly, like I've been around you and you always feel better after you exercise.
I know. I feel like, great.
And I mean, both mentally and physically, I think like, as you mentioned, I am under the weather towards the end of this week. And I don't know. I don't know how much of that is, like I definitely picked something up. Like my son, he's been super sick. Definitely picked something up. But also, I just didn't have the best habits going into this week. I stayed up late several nights. I didn't get my exercise in. I was eating terribly. And that all combines very quickly to make you feel terrible. Like that's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's like it's both and both. Here are these negative things you can do that'll make you feel bad. But then there's these positive things that if you leave them out, you kind of exist in this in between state.
Right.
So like there's levels here, right? Like, so the question is for me, like how necessary is exercise to that feeling good? And I could see where you're coming from with that. Cause like exercise on the one hand, it's not like it's not as foundational as getting enough sleep in a sense, in terms of making you feel good.
I think
foundational is it?
I think for me, it's more of I'm really wary of anytime somebody's like, this is the cure all. Like if you do this thing, that's going to make you be just a better person all around. I'm always really hazy
for me
about that.
For me, that one is breathing. If you breathe, I figure you're just a better person all around.
I was still drinking water. Every time someone tells me to drink water, I'm like, will it though?
No, Banjo, 100% of people who drink water die. So
that's a really good point.
I don't know.
Correlation does not equal something, but I can't remember.
We are not scientists.
We're not scientists. No, you know, maybe we can talk about this though for a little bit, but I've wanted to write for a long time. I've wanted to write an essay or an article about, I have this paradox in me where, and I bet you feel this way too, where I really enjoy being an athlete. I really enjoy going up for a run and doing difficult things, you know?
Absolutely.
And yet I also really enjoy having a cigar or a pipe and a nice glass of whiskey at the end of the night.
Where's the problem here? How's this paradox?
Well, it's maybe you didn't grow up with this kind of a family, but my brothers are athlete freaks, respectfully. I love them to death. They're like 98% muscle.
So when you say athlete freak, like as in they obviously work out, but there's also the competitive side to it, right?
Yeah. I should say they are high caliber, high quality athletes, D1 athletes.
Okay. So they're doing this at a highly competitive level. It's not just they love to exercise and they love to do this stuff. Cause I know people like that who probably could be at a very competitive level, but they don't care about that.
Yeah.
So you're saying brothers are both incredibly fit and they're able to perform.
Yep. And talented and they're great. And when I started smoking and drinking at appropriate ages, and all that, my brothers were like, why are you doing that? Like, why is that a thing that you're, why would you want to do that? Especially with smoking, it was like you're consuming something that is actively bad for you. Why would you do that? And so in my head, I have a little bit of this kind of this paradox of well, I really like to do this one thing, and I'm not as like competitive as my brothers are. No, well, let me rephrase that. I am as competitive as they are. I am just not as talented as they are. I want to beat them as badly as they want to beat me. They just can actually do it.
Absolutely.
That's really the difference. So anyway, but you don't have any qualms about either of these conditions?
Have you considered competitive pipe smoking? I kid.
My health insurance won't cover that.
I would have qualms if I don't want to even phrase them as negative habits, but if the habits that can impact your body negatively became more than a regular enjoyment, they turned into an addiction of some sort, or they started actually negatively affecting you.
Athletics can do that too.
I guess, yes, absolutely. And I guess I would pull back and say, well, why are you doing the thing you're doing?
This gets back to Dave's point about motivation.
Exactly. What's your motive here? So you can be someone who you're incredibly fit, you're an athlete, you care about competition, but you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. So long term, mentally, that's going to have a negative impact. Physically, you could make arguments one way or the other, but we do know that one of the biggest killers is stress.
Right.
So if you're causing yourself, and I want to again say,
we're not doctors.
There's such a thing as bad stress and good stress. As this gets talked about, you need micro stressors in your life in order to grow. But if you are stressing about your athletic, like I've known a guy like this who was stressing about his athletic capabilities to the point where it was so, like, race days were just the most negative day in his life. He couldn't, like, he was in this negative spiral about it. And at that point, I would say that's just unhealthy. Like, go find something else to do.
Yeah.
Some other way to stay fit, some other way to have this outlet. I'm not saying that man shouldn't stay fit. Like, he should just find something other than running, I think, or something other than competitive.
Yeah, figure out that motivation thing.
Figure that out. Yeah.
You know, figure out that element of it.
There's that. So pull back there. And for the same reason, why are you enjoying things like a whiskey and a cigar? Are you doing it to the glory of God? Are you doing it because you truly believe this is something that God has given you to enjoy? Or are you doing it because, well, look at me, I look cool and I'm like, I'm awesome and I have my cigar every day and blah, 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 you know? Well, those are two very different motivations.
Yeah.
So if I think you'll find if you're motivated properly, then it won't become a problem. It will continue to grow in a way that glorifies God.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Makes me think of one of my, I can't remember if I've talked about it on the show or not, but a book that had a really big impact on me in college. I don't know if you remember me carrying around this big, giant book. No, you wouldn't have been
around several books.
I carried around a lot of books. This was my senior year. I was reading Infinite Jest, which is a massive, just like it's like 1,000 pages. It's
almost infinite.
It's almost infinite, but it's a really phenomenal book, and I highly recommend anyone who has insomnia pick it up because you've got the time and you should read it. But it's a really good read, and by David Foster Wallace, and a lot of it is really kind of a study in addiction, and really a study of how modern life, both modern in the sense of, you know, 21st century and modern in the sense of kind of post-enlightenment society. It's really a study of how that modernism just kind of sets us up for addiction and how we're all kind of dealing with various forms of addiction, whether we recognize it or not. And so it deals with like all kinds of addicts, like almost every character in the book. I think every character in the book is an addict of some degree or other. And it's a really eye-opening read, I think, just to recognizing the addictions that we have in our own life, whether it's, you know, to TV, or to food, or to, you know, to nicotine, or to athleticism. The majority of the novel focuses on a young man at a tennis academy, and just seeing the different ways the boys at the tennis academy are, you know, basically killed by their dedication to the sport, or by their inability to escape it. But at the same time, the way that they try to escape the stress of it is, you know, it's through drugs and alcohol and all this other stuff. So right. Anyway, it's a book that to me, anytime I look at what I'm doing or what other people are doing, one of my first questions then becomes like, well, how am I addicted to this thing? And I kind of make the assumption that I am in some way addicted to it. And so for me, there's this funny thing between these two kind of sides of myself, I feel, of this, like, I want to be an athlete, but I also want to enjoy things that are not organic whole food type things. And yet I think those things have some benefit. I feel equally good.
Right, right.
When I go for a run with friends and when I sit with a group of friends and have a smoke, you know, those are equally welcome to me.
And in different ways. You know, as an aside, I think it was who was it? There's a story, maybe it's about Roger Bannister, or maybe it's about the guy who broke the 4 minute mile second, which whoever it was, one of the earliest guys to break the 4 minute mile. He
smoking a cigar.
He walked up to the track smoking a cigar, you know, made a little place to rest his cigar on a dirt track, set it down, ran his mile, picked it up, and kept smoking a cigar. Like,
that's one of my favorite stories.
It's incredible. And like, so part of that point is, first off, there are definitely worse vices. Like if you're like, you shouldn't be going and doing, you know, cocaine or something so addictive that's going to destroy your life. Versus,
I'll cross that off my bucket list.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh boy, Banjo.
Is this the day that we get canceled?
Is this it? Okay. At any rate, like there are definitely levels of vices. So like I would point out, like, there are like a cigar versus even a cigarette are two very different things versus, you know, if you're smoking weed or something, that's a totally different thing. Like there's levels for this. It's not just, I don't want to just lump all drugs into one category and just say they're all bad because then I couldn't have caffeine, right? Like that
would be stimulants are,
there's levels to this in terms of how they are for you and the research that needs to be done before using one or the other.
Well, this would be not all things are lawful, not all things are beneficial, right?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And you know, I asked my doctor about this at one point because I smoke a pipe or a cigar occasionally and I enjoy whiskey or a beer. And I asked him, okay, so what do you think of this? Like, how much of a problem is a cigar? He says, well, do you enjoy it? Like, do you legitimately enjoy it? I was like, well, yes. He goes, well, then there's not a problem legitimately enjoying this thing. He said, because if at that point, it's a stress reducer rather than a vice. He said, now, if it's to the point where you have to have it every day,
you're becoming stressed if you don't have it.
It's causing stress on your body at that point, right? It's becoming an addiction.
Yeah.
So that was a key note for me. It's like, oh, like he's right. Like if I don't get this thing right now, I'm going to be so stressed out. Like that's so much worse for me than the occasional, oh, you know, be nice right now. It's a beautiful evening and I've got some buddies. Let's all have a cigar. Like that's a totally different category. But we have to be wise. We can't go around making excuses for ourselves. We have to be wise and think through these things clearly and well and biblically.
And one of the things I've been thinking about with that is just like this challenge. Aside from the physical benefits, which have been big, I think probably the second biggest thing that I've gotten out of this challenge is just kind of like a reminder of like our responsibility with everything, and to the extent that, you know, I have to be responsible for my physical health. I can't outsource that to a doctor. I need to be active in that. But the upshot of it is that if I do take responsibility, if I am active in that process to whatever extent that I am able, I feel better. I'm happier about it.
Legitimately.
I enjoy, broadly speaking, I enjoy life more because I get the opportunity to do this thing and to be responsible.
It's funny you say the outsourcing to a doctor. Have you heard about this new pill It's like a weight loss pill.
Oh, the Ozempic?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, one, that's so much less satisfying. You're not getting the other benefits of working out. Two, it just seems like it's such a cop out, right? Like it's this, like they're acknowledging, anyone using this might be acknowledging they need to lose the weight, but they're not acknowledging that there's work that has to be done there, right? They want the easy out, just like they easily got to.
I mean, I have all the sympathy in the world for people who go with the Ozempic route. Cause I mean, it, like you say, it's easy. And from what I hear, there's a lot of reported side benefits. The downside is we don't know what the other shoe is, you know, that.
Right. Right. Well, and again, it's like, I don't want to blame someone for taking the easy route. Like you can't blame the heroin addict for going back to heroin. Like, you know how, like that's one of the hardest things in the world to break, right? That's
and one of the easiest things to get into. I mean, exactly. It's just, and that's the thing about addiction, you know, it's just when we're under stress, we find some way to cope, you know.
Exactly.
And whatever that thing is, I mean, I'll tell you this, it's heartbreaking to go to school and to watch kids coping with things in ways that are just absolutely unhealthy. And that's their coping mechanism, you know. And then to see adults do the same thing and not know that that's what they're doing.
So what is the right coping mechanism? We've talked about a lot of bad coping mechanisms, or even how good things can turn into bad coping mechanisms.
Well, I'm no doctor, but what do you think? I'm going to turn the question back on you.
Well, I'm going to give the Sunday school answer here, because I feel like that's like I feel like.
Well, kind of I what think we were you're
talking
right.
about, we start with scripture, right? Like, so here's the thing. I had a conversation with my wife recently. Like, I have a good friend who's not a Christian. He's a non-Christian. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with her at one point. Like, he was acting. I mean, he'll act pretty dumb sometimes, or he'll do some things. And if you're listening to this, my dear friend, you know who you are. And I'll say that to you. I've said it to your face before. Anyway, point being, you can't expect a non-Christian to live up to the same standards as a Christian, period.
Yeah.
And so there is that. Like, I would say anyone who is a Christian should immediately turn to scripture, always. Turn to scripture. If you're not a Christian, I would encourage you also to turn to scripture. But you can't expect those same standards in a certain sense.
Well, yeah. The only thing I'd also say, though, is I have seen ways in which I think you have to turn to scripture, but there needs to be done wisely, I think, or it needs to be done in counsel, a fellowship. It needs to be done in fellowship.
Yes and no. Like,
well, here's the thing,
you can't use that as a blocker to not like, oh, I don't have the counsel and fellowship I need.
No, I don't want to say that, but I have seen as many ways as there are to get healing from scripture. There's also as many ways to use scripture as a negative coping mechanism, you know, to twist. When I, you know, and I think,
what do you mean by that? Because I don't see how that can be.
I think it's possible to if so, say a young person who's not super biblically literate gets hold of a Bible passage, and is just reading it wrong. So, you know, like, one example would be, John 14:15, right? If you love me, keep my commandments, right? Reading that passage one way, you can read it as, well, you will only be loving me if you keep my commandments, right? Read a more biblical way in context, I think it's more accurate to say, if you love me, you will be in the act of keeping my commandments. But someone who's reading that passage without proper guidance, and I'm not saying that they should, you know, it's not like the Bible comes with an age limit or anything. But I guess my hope would be, or my advice would be, if somebody was recognizing that they have unhealthy coping mechanisms, they need to get somebody else involved to help them to recognize what's healthy, what's unhealthy. It's that fellowship element that Dave was talking about.
I think, and then bringing
into scripture so that there's, because when you're coping with something in an unhealthy way, what's really happening is you're saying, I'm the only one who can deal with this, you know, and you're kind of removing yourself from the gospel because you're saying, wait, I have to solve this problem on my own, even without Jesus. And even if you're reading scripture from that mindset, you might not see the ways in which Jesus is offering help, is offering aid. You probably need someone in fellowship to come in and say, no, like, don't read it this way. Read it this way, right? Like, you need, I think, a multitude of counselors. Does that make sense?
It does. And while I agree with you that it's good to have counsel and a pastor or fellowship of a church around you to learn and read these things. On the other hand, I would never ever want to tell someone, well, you shouldn't read scripture because you don't have a good guide with you yet. Like that. I know that's not what you're saying. I think it's more, I would just encourage anyone and everyone, like, start with scripture. Like, yes, go find a friend to read it with, find someone to be accountable with, find a counselor who will walk through scripture with you. But if you don't have any of those things, don't ever let that stop you from just reading scripture. And if you get it, if you jump in and you read something and you think it says one thing, well, keep reading scripture, because, like, you don't stop with the one verse, right? I think that's what you're saying is right. If you stop with the one verse, then you're not going to get the full picture. So keep reading scripture. Keep reading scripture. That's my kind of just not, I guess, not a opposition to what you said, but a bit of a yes, but.
Well, if
you
keep
reading scripture, you keep reading scripture. Like a lot of what you talked about gets solved.
To be clear, I think you and I are like on the same, we're on the same box. We're just standing on two different sides of it.
Sure.
I have just known a lot of young men in particular with unhealthy coping mechanisms who go back to scripture, who go back to scripture, who go back to scripture and never reach out for fellowship and think that they're alone. Absolutely. In their coping mechanism and think that they're alone in their addiction and what they're going through. And I think it's important to say, like, hey guys, you know, go find somebody to talk to and, you know, go get self, you know, go, don't stand in the foxhole alone. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, right. Well, I would almost argue that if you're truly delving into scripture, you'll pretty quickly realize, oh, I should be in fellowship with somebody. Like, that's why I say, like,
but here's the thing, JJ.
Scripture gives that advice. Like,
yeah, but just because scripture gives advice doesn't mean that we're sanctified enough to take it, you know?
That's fair. That's fair.
And like, I can't tell you the number of times that I was reading through passages that were like, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And I was like, that's good advice. And then didn't go talk to anybody about it. Just, you know, so my prayer is that anybody listening to this is going to go to scripture, but also knows that they're not the only ones going through whatever they're going through, and that the fellowship of the church is for fellowship, and it's a place for broken people. It's not a place for perfect people. You know, Christ came to save failures. He didn't come to save successes.
Absolutely.
And so go talk to somebody.
So that begs the question, exercise, can it be a bad coping mechanism?
Well, I think anything can be a bad coping mechanism. You know, and again, that's where you need the fellowship. You need somebody to say, hey, I think you're probably doing this in an unhealthy way. I mean, that's what Kyle was talking about, that orthorexia mindset of if I don't have the perfect body, if I don't have the perfect whatever, that's going to cause stress. You know, I think you and I have probably both known guys who were, if they didn't go do their workout for the day, you know, they were probably miserable and kind of panicky.
Right.
And I think that's probably unhealthy. Being willing to step away from a thing for a day, I think that's probably a good sign that you're not abusing whatever you're doing.
That absolutely makes sense. Yep. Kind of goes back to our entire conversation. Very good. Well, we are nearly at the end of this week's time. Next week, however, we will have a longer challenge wrap-up. We get to see our actual totals for how we've been doing, get to talk about both of the interviews that we've recently listened to or recently got to have. So I am looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great one. This has been the Forging Honor podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at forginghonor.com.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure to like, subscribe, and give us a rating to bring others into the Forging Honor journey. On our website, you'll find information about our Patreon, articles, as well as links to the many resources we mention in the show.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Forging Honor. We'll see you next time.